On Christmas Day, there's a convergence between the calendar of the world and the calendar of the church. Because at least in Western countries or countries influenced by Christianity, Christmas Day is Christmas Day, and it's a day to celebrate, or at least have a holiday. Maybe in the Middle East or in other Asian countries, December 25 is just an ordinary work day, but in Christian countries, it's a holiday. But that convergence is very short-lived, and it comes to mind today because we see, especially today and tomorrow, that the church's approach to the calendar, the church's approach to time, and the world's approach to time is completely different. There was a moment of convergence on December 25, but now on December 31 and January 1, it's completely out of sync. Because in the world, this is New Year's Eve. This is the last day of the year, and it's a big deal, and people have parties and celebrate. And tomorrow's New Year's Day, whole new thing. But in the church, this is not New Year's Eve. In the church, this is the seventh day in the octave of Christmas. And tomorrow is not New Year's Day. Tomorrow is the great solemnity of the Mother of God, Mary, Mother of God, at the eighth day of Christmas. In the church, the passage from one year to the next and the calendar is almost completely ignored. It's just a striking thing. However, in the first reading today, there is mention of the last hour. I don't know if this just happened this way, or if some liturgist thought it would be clever to put a reading about the last hour on the last day of the year. I don't know. But St. John, who's writing this in his first letter, is not thinking about the last day of the year. When he says the last hour, he's talking about the last era in the unfolding of God's great plan. God, who's outside of time, has a plan for the unfolding of time. Creation, yes, then the era of preparation after the fall, preparation for the coming of the redemption, then the great act of redemption with the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, culminating in his death and resurrection. Then, when he ascends to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit, then we enter into the last stage of human history. So from Pentecost until Jesus comes again in glory, that's the last stage, the last era, the last hour. That's where we live. We live in this last era. And it's been going on since Pentecost, so 2,000 years. We don't know how long it will last. But it will come to a final conclusion when Jesus comes again in glory. Okay, so in this last stage of human history, or the last stage of God's plan, there is an ongoing tension. Because God's plan meets with opposition, just as Jesus himself did. And that's what John is referring to when he says that you have heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Well, what is he talking about, these antichrists? Well, he's not only talking about one antagonist to Christ, who we consider Satan. He's talking about anybody who is aligned with the lie, or anyone who is opposed to the truth. And he says, in our stage of history, there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people are opposed to the truth, promoting lies. And this, we know, is true. In fact, it's more obvious in the age of the internet than it was ever before, because all you have to do is open your internet and you can find lots of lies, lots of opposition to the reign of Jesus Christ. So that's, I think, what John is referring to. And he's not talking about the internet, but he is talking about the ongoing tension between the reign of Christ and everyone and everything that opposes the reign of Christ, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's go to this gospel, though, because here on the seventh day of the octave of Christmas, we go back to the beginning of John's gospel, the marvelous prologue. We touched on this briefly on the Feast of St. John, which was just a couple days ago. That was on Friday. John, the apostle and evangelist, who wrote this prologue, or wrote this gospel, had an extraordinary insight into what God revealed, what God is revealing. And he takes us back to the beginning. We read this gospel on Christmas Day. So if you went to Mass Christmas Day, you heard this gospel. If you went to Mass on Christmas Eve, it was a different one. But this is the gospel of Christmas Day. It's a celebration of the identity of the Word and the arrival of the Word in the flesh. So the Word was always the Word, with no beginning. He was in the beginning with God, he was God, he is God. But at a certain point in time, the Word, the eternal Word, entered into time. And that's what we celebrate with Christmas. This is the line I like to ponder a little bit with you. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory. The glory as of the Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Those of you who pray the Angelus, and maybe you all pray the Angelus, know that the Angelus reflects on this. First of all, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary. And the first of the three parts of the Angelus are the encounter Mary has with the angel. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Annunciation. Then the next one is, how does it go? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Mary's response. Mary's response. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. So that's the word, still, annunciation. But then the third one, and the Word became flesh. It's a quotation straight from John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So at the Annunciation, it's not simply the encounter between Mary and the angel. It's the moment when the eternal Word becomes flesh. That's why it's such an extraordinary thing. The beginning of a whole new era. The Annunciation, the Incarnation. Speaking of calendars, you might know that in different periods of history, calendars have been different, and even the beginning of the year was different. For a while, back in Roman times, the first month of the year was March. I don't remember when this was changed, but that's why the names of the months are all messed up. You know that the months at the end of the Bur months, September, October, November, December, those are referring to Latin words for numbers. Seven. So September was the seventh month. October was the eighth month, October. And November was the ninth month, and December was the tenth month. But it's not that way now. It's off by 2 months, right? You notice that. Well, that's because March was the first month. And for a certain period of time, it was a celebration of the Incarnation, at least from a Christian perspective. Okay, so here it is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Beginning of a whole new stage of time. A renewal of time. In fact, the beginning of a new time, a new creation. He made his dwelling among us and we saw his glory. But, as John says, not everyone accepts the coming of the Word. His own people didn't accept him. And the world doesn't accept him. What we're celebrating at Christmas time is the arrival of this grace and the welcoming of this grace, and the welcoming of this Word made flesh. From his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, that's the old era, the old covenant, while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Remember what John says in the first reading, anti-truth, anti-grace, anti-Christ. There are those who don't accept the truth. Every lie is alien to the truth. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do. We know the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is that the Word has become flesh. The truth is that God has entered into time. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So this is what we celebrate at Christmas time. The arrival of grace and truth, the arrival of the Word made flesh. That's the best reason to celebrate. Celebrating the change from 2024 to 2025 is almost silly by comparison. It's okay, we can enjoy it, but it really has no meaning at all by comparison to the arrival of the Word made flesh. So let us celebrate Christmas, the arrival of the Word. Seventh day of Christmas, tomorrow eighth day of Christmas, tomorrow New Year's Day, we'll celebrate the motherhood of Mary as Mother of God. These are mysteries to ponder forever. In fact, this gospel, the prologue of John, was for a long time read every single day at every single Mass, at the end of the Mass, because it tells the whole story. From the beginning to the arrival of the Word, to the reign of grace and truth, that's what we celebrate.